there's not enough physical gold left within the system backing all these derivatives.
They now have to keep printing or we crash.
We've got this ticking time bomb.
Talking gold with the one and only Andrew McGuire.
Welcome to Live from the Vault.
Hi there, my name is Shane Moran, and I'll be your host for this week's episode of Live from the Vault. Welcome to the show that goes beyond the headlines and uncovers the truth about the precious metals industry and the effects on the global economy in these historic times. With exclusive access to experts and insiders, we reveal information, we reveal insights that you simply won't find anywhere else. Now, this week, fasten your seatbelts, we have the one and only Andrew McGuire in the vault. And, you know, he's a precious metals expert. He's a whistleblower. But in the vault, to help him pull back the curtain, we'll be joined in a few minutes here by popular demand and a very good friend of Live from the Vault. The industry expert Craig Hemke from TF Metals Report is in the house. That's right. Craig is in the house, and he's in the vault. And you're not going to want to miss this conversation between him and Andy. So just before we introduce our special guest, for those that don't already know Craig, and before we head over to the UK, please help us spread the word about this channel by hitting that like button. It really helps the show. Share this information. That helps the show. And also, subscribe. And if you haven't already done so, click on that bell and we'll notify you in real time as each episode goes live. So let me tell you a little bit about Craig Hemke, in case you haven't met him already. I know he's a big... Everyone loves Craig. When you meet him, you'll know what I mean in a few seconds here if you haven't already met him. He began his career in the financial services sector back in 1990, but he retired in 2008 to focus on his family and entrepreneurial opportunities. But since 2010, he has been the editor and the publisher of the TF Metals Report, and you can find him over at tfmetalsreport.com. It's an online community for precious metals investors. So, and with that, let's head over right now to the UK and talking gold with the one and only Andrew McGuire and our special guest, Craig Hemke. Over to you, Andy.
Well, everyone, it doesn't get any better than today. Now, you know this face, and you know this face really, really well. Sometimes he wears a hat and sometimes he doesn't. But this is, of course, Craig Hemke. Obviously the CEO of TF Metals, great report, guys. And he's done so much for this industry, and it's all about education. In fact, really, this is what this is about, isn't it? So we're in our new studios here. Craig is joining us today. I think sometimes I'm joining him rather than he's joining me. He's a brother from another mother, but he's done so much. To really cast that net out to sometimes the people that we might not even touch. And thanks, Craig, for all you do. And thanks for joining us today.
Oh, Andy, that's very nice of you to say. It's been quite the fight. It's been, I just passed my 13th anniversary of starting this crazy site. I'm a teenager. The site's a teenager now, Andy. I just can't believe we've been doing it this long. I will tell everybody at the beginning, I mean, the site is my analysis every day and a podcast every day as well. I tell people I'm kind of their eyes and ears to the world and kind of keep them engaged. I mean, there have been times here this year when it looked pretty bleak and I kept reminding everybody, no, nothing has changed. Hang in there. And as we record this, gold's up double digits on the year, exceeding its average annual return, you know, for the last 23 years. And I think there's value to that. There's value in the community of the site. It's a whopping, I mean, $15 a month. It's not like, you know, you got to pay $150 a month. It's 15. And it's, again, I think there's, hopefully there's some value to that for people. And it's interesting, Andy, as we start this discussion and we're talking about how long we've been at this, and you think about all the conditions that you and I have been discussing have been present for as long as we've known each other. It's just that the process has dragged out longer than we might have anticipated. And that's actually, 2023 is kind of a microcosm of that. The conditions for the rally and the finally to break out of this trading range, kind of a long-term bull flag that we've been in on the chart. The conditions have been there all year. It just has dragged out longer, you know, with every slightly positive uptick in some economic indicator, you know, things get pushed back, but we're still moving toward everything that we thought was going to happen in the back half of this year. Looks now like it's going to be, you know, in the first half of next, but that's okay. Hey, we're going to get there eventually. We're certainly trending that direction.
Yeah. And I think again, you know, this is a great observation. I mean, I think, you know, right at the beginning of 2023, we were of a like mind. Things were changing, the physical paper imbalance. But I think your side of the pond has been the problem. Yeah. And the trouble is that when, remember in 2013, right after the presidential meeting with the too big to fail banks, and the LBMA was breaking up, ABN AMRO had come out, we're not going to deliver physical, we're going to settle your paper goal. All hell had broken loose. And the very next day, if you remember, they met, and the very next day we saw the game start again. Now, the thing is that while that game has been, it's been perpetuated your side of the pond. And I think one of the things I was drawing attention to today, and I was just doing an episode, is that right at that time was the exact time they brought in CME market trading halts, like circuit breakers, where the COMEX, and bear in mind that, of course, we had to get rid of all our American clients, no longer able to access the physical over-the-counter spot markets, had to trade inside this casino bubble where the house controls all the desks, all the pit managers control everything. And what happens is that all of a sudden, you find there's a 5-minute trading halt in the COMEX where all those traders are locked, 3 minutes in the futures market. Yet on this side of the pond, in the 10 times larger tradable global physical spot trading markets, the FX markets, it's not frozen. And yet there's the market makers with a foot in the COMEX and a foot on this side of the pond. Able to, hey, bid-only market, what are you going to do? You're going to make sure you're well-positioned. What a rig job.
Yeah.
It started your side of the pond. And here we go. And it really did, it took a while. But I think, and this is what I'm drawing your attention to now, because you did a ton of work on this, Craig. March 2020, mm-hmm. What happened?
Yeah.
What was that? That was a physical market froze. What happened? We were bid only.
Yeah. And all of the games that the bankers had been playing up until that date. Andy, remember the open interest in COMEX Gold got to about 800,000 contracts. I mean, it's not even 500,000 now. They were doing 35,000 EFPs, exchange for physical, a day. Just kind of, what the right word is, nailing each other for a couple of bucks, playing the spread between the front month futures and the spot. And then the whole thing blew up because all of a sudden nobody could, you know, trusted each other to actually deliver on physical metal to make that arbitrage, that little thing that they were doing work, and the whole thing, boom. And then what happens, man? They open up the whole Pandora's box. All of a sudden, CME has to roll out this weird contract where it could be delivered in partial components of a, you know, a London bar, you know, and all this crap, you know. And I think that really accelerated the demise of the system because it brought so much doubt into the system. You know, I've always said, Andy, you know, we have this weird pricing scheme that, again, was obviously developed on purpose in 1975 or 74 to have a form of alchemy, you know, so that we can create all of these things that are, oh, they're just as good as gold. It's gold price exposure. You don't want the real thing. We're going to make all this other magic make-believe stuff. And people have played along with that as long as there was physical metal to deliver at the price that it was discovered through the trading of all this garbage, this phony baloney plastic banana derivative stuff. And I think that now is really starting to, you know, show itself. Those doubts are beginning to show themselves here this year because, you know, Andy, the a lot of people that don't really follow gold closely, they still think of it as just an inflation hedge. Mm. And there have been all kinds of studies that have been done to show that's you're only getting half the picture. When you talk about gold as an inflation hedge, that's only half the picture, because where inflation factors in is real interest rates. That's what gold is mostly correlated to. And you could pull up charts that go back literally decades, and gold and real interest rates trade like this. Negative real interest rates, good for gold, positive, bad. And then Andy, I don't know, a year and a half ago, that chart that goes like this. Mm. And the level of real interest rates as calculated by inflation expectations and nominal rates, so they went vastly positive, but yet gold remained firm all year long. People were like, what's going on here? I don't understand. And again, I think this gets back to all the things you just mentioned. There's not enough physical gold left within the system backing all these derivatives. And your bankers over there on your side of the pond know that if the COMEX futures price was to drop to $1,200, the demand for physical would be such that the whole thing would just, you know, just implode. Mm. And so we have maintained this big wide spread between what, you know, the implied price would be off of real interest rates versus what it actually is. And again, that gets back to the lack of physical metal and the lack of confidence in the perpetuation of the system. And so, yeah, we sit now on the doorstep of a year of 2024 that, man, is going to be, you know, Andy, I just hope we live long enough to see what it's like by the time we get to December 2024, because it's going to be a wildly unpredictable year. And about the only thing I feel really confident in is that the gold price is going to be going up through the course of the year.
Yeah. And I think, and again, segueing from, you know, that the March 2020, what that did was it actually broke the EFP conduit, mm-hmm. the ability. And of course, it is a relied on conduit. So if I want to, or if I'm Russia or I'm China or I'm any other institution or myself, I can take a COMEX contract. Right, I don't need to fly it out. Just EFP the bloody thing. And where does it ends up? In an NSFR compliant, Basel III compliant deliverable contract. And this is what's been happening. And I think, so it broke, as you say, drew massive attention, unwanted attention to the fact that, hey, this mechanism broke. And if it broke once, yeah. Oh yeah, they can cobble it together. Put, as you say, they created some weird contracts, put a band-aid over it. Oh, I tell you what, let's just put enough paper market in, you know, open interest in there. Let's throw enough casino chips in, give it away at a discount, and people will lose sight of the picture. Then, but what it did was, it was the very moment that the Bank of International Settlements said, right, we are now bringing in Basel III NSFR compliance to gold, because the bailout of the too big to fail banks was so tenuous. I mean, that if they hadn't stepped in right then and joined forces, let's face it, two competing exchanges, the LBMA and the CME, by necessity, these two criminal organizations, in my view, come together. And literally forced to sort of to rig it together. And so I think, long story short, what happened was, because that was the moment that the BIS said, right, we're going to have to create a physical market. Because after all, it was the very fact that the liquidity providers providing longs into the spot market with no physical on board, everyone said, okay, give it to me. I don't want to trade it. Give it to me.
Right.
They didn't have it. So $100 spreads, because it's an asymmetric trade, isn't it? So you've got a long gold contract and a short COMEX contract. It's leveraged to hell. So that was the reason, I think, because it's what, 70 trillion. You add in derivatives, at least 70 trillion a year. It's just not a small market, the gold market, the FX gold market. So I think what happened was, on the first of it had to come into force on the 1st of January, 2023. Bingo. Suddenly, we've got a first-year asset class that weighs up against U.S. Treasuries for the first time in 50-something years.
Yeah.
This to me was the critical change that actually forced through, and look at 2023. And you're right, you know, up and down, up and down. But hey, when the Bank of International Settlements covered their short, their gold derivative, 500 tons of gold derivative bets in November, 1 year ago in November 2022, gold's up over $400 an ounce since then. And people mither about these 2 minute charts, 10 minute charts an hour. You know what? What you do too is you say, guys, step back, understand what's going on. And clearly you speak to two worlds. You speak to the stackers. What have they been doing? You've been keeping them resolute. Keep putting it, baby. Keep on doing it, baby, and you'll be well. And then you've got the traders. Well, you know, you warn them. You warn them. Be a bit careful here. And I think this has been very, very helpful.
Well, and it's gonna it's going to be more and more helpful, I hope, going forward, because again, all these processes that you've described, Andy, are continuing and accelerating. For and I'm thinking as you're talking, you know, this is stuff you and I just, you know, talk about when we ring each other up. You know, for people, if you're listening to this, wherever you are in the world, and you're thinking, what are these two crazy old men talking about? At the end of the day, it gets back. Remember the video you Kinesis guys made of a discussion we had about 2 years ago about the physical metal that underpins this whole pyramid Ponzi scheme of the derivative pricing structure. And there has to be physical metal that flows into that price. And when it doesn't, and that fails, there's like a scramble for the little amount of physical metal that backs up all of this. You know, think of it like an upside down pyramid. You got this little itty bitty slug of physical metal, and you got all these derivatives stacked on top of it. So when the, you know, the thing tips over and implodes on itself, there's this mad scramble for the actual physical metal. That was the point of that video. It's like, you don't want to be the last person in line waiting for it. And so all of this relates back to what you just said. Whether you are a trader, a bank trader even, trying to arbitrage price around the world, if you don't have faith that you can actually get metal out of the system, then the whole system implodes because it's built on that level of, you know, that kind of confidence. And so when you look at what's gone on, especially like you mentioned, Basel III, demand for physical gold, how that relates to not just institutionally, but saw at the sovereign level. This last year was the largest year for just gross bulk tonnage of central bank gold demand since 1968, when the previous scheme for managing price blew up, the London Gold Pool. This year is on track to even exceed that. So, you know, getting back to what I mentioned, you know, why is gold not $1,200 an ounce as real interest rates would suggest it should be? It's because there's just no physical metal. There's not enough that you could drive the price down there through the traditional pricing scheme and then still have enough physical metal to meet all the demand that would come from those lower prices. And so as we go forward now into 2024, none of this changes. In fact, it likely, very likely worsens. And what'll be fun to watch, Andy, because you and I have seen this countless times over the years, is when price does finally break out of this trading range that it's been in. You know, even as we record this, you know, gold has been above $2,000 for a few days. I don't see any headlines anywhere. Do you? Do you see them coming on? Yeah. You know, does CNBC have a special nighttime report? Gold above 2,000. What is it? No, man, nobody even cares. Nobody even notices. The mining shares are still like half of what they were a couple of years ago. Nobody cares. But you get above 2,100 and it starts breaking out. That's when it starts generating headlines. And all of a sudden the demand picks up and people even want even more gold. And the whole destruction of the scheme starts to speed up too. So the key takeaway, if anybody listening to us, is look, don't fool around with this. If you want gold, and you want to hold gold, don't go trusting the system at this point. Don't be a believer that your unallocated account is actual gold that you can lay your hands on, or your ETF is actual gold you can lay your hands on. Yeah, let me give you one more, Andy, that everybody should be watching. How about these Swiss banks? I'm sure you've seen some of this in the last couple of weeks. You know, UBS was forced to absorb Credit Suisse, whatever that was, 6-7 months ago.
Yep.
And that is a disaster. Wait, I mean, I've seen stuff on the internet, I'm sure you have too, of, wait a second, are they starting to kind of close the gates on your money at UBS? Well, how many people have gold stored that they think they have, you know, can lay their hands on at UBS and other Swiss banks? I mean, there are all these things out there. And it augurs, again, to the final point that you and I always end up making. Take delivery, get your hands on it, hold it in your own two hands, because that's the only way that you know that you actually own it. And in doing so, by removing that gold from the system, it just, even 1 ounce at a time, increases the pressure on the banks, because it increases their leverage that they apply, you know, to kind of keep the plate spinning. And that's what we all want to have happen. It gets us toward a more fair and free price discovery. And in the end, like I said, when it all blows up, you actually have that physical metal. You're not like, you know, hat in hand going, can I please have at least some of what I think I own? Well, you got to make sure you have it now.
Well, what you've just described is we have the power to change this game.
Yes.
We collectively have that power. And that's what I love about these sessions, which do get out there. And it's like, so we got a lot of views and a lot of people come in and find out, and then they talk to other people and the education comes out. Essentially, we have the power to change this. And if every single person, she even bought a gram in which they're doing in Indonesia and they're doing in other countries. Every single person bought a gram or an ounce. This game would, the banks would be neutered, absolutely neutered. The game would be finished. And in other words, all we're saying is do what every other central bank other than the Fed is doing.
Correct.
Do exactly what they're doing. Do what the Bank of International Settlements did back in November. Not only did they get rid of their derivatives, why? Because they want a higher gold price.
Right.
Because they wanted, they don't want encumbered sight accounts.
Right.
Which they control for other central banks. And why is 2023 the strongest off the scale physical gold, global gold buying in history? It's unprecedented.
Yes.
And silver too. But it is unprecedented. And why is that? Because they all know gold is undervalued.
And Andy, we should talk about that for a minute, because people, you know, that have known you and I for years and watched you and I talk about this stuff for years, they know how this system works. And they know that there's always been an incentive for the banks, the bullion banks, but, you know, also the Fed and the Treasury, to keep the price of gold in check. Right. As a reflection of confidence in fiat currency and that inflation is down and all this kind of stuff, that has demonstrable. I mean, I think you can notice that has changed. You know, all the stuff that we've already talked about is evidence of this, that the banks could really use and the central banks could really use a higher gold price. You know, whether it, you know, if they want to revalue the gold they hold on their balance sheet, or if it's all the way just down to, you know, in the West, we like to buy it when it goes up, you know, and not when it goes down. As it goes up, the other in the East will relax their gold buying demand a little bit, perhaps. And so maybe a higher gold price will help the banks keep the, you know, keep the whole thing scheme going a little bit longer. Because at this depressed price, the thing is obviously speeding, you know, to a rather nasty conclusion for them. So there's incentive now to have a higher gold price, to gradually allow it, not, you know, maybe not to reset it at whatever level, but to at least gradually let it go up. And that's how you can look at it from just a regular investor and go, okay, yeah, I can see where we're going to break out next year based on all these other extenuating circumstances, but then also then rally. I mean, I think we could easily see a $3,000 gold price in the next couple of years. And when you extrapolate that out to what that would be to the mining shares, or what it would just mean to the regular investor, you know, to have however your savings, instead of pricing them in fiat currency that's being devalued, save in gold and actually see your purchasing power and your savings increase. That's one of the beautiful things about Kinesis. You know, you talk about buying a gram of gold. God, those little wafers, man, they're like that big, you know, and it could easily just get lost. But if you go on the Kinesis platform, you can set yourself up to buy fractions of a gram every 2 weeks when you get a paycheck. And now, rather than having your hard work and your savings be held in pounds or euro or dollars or yen or whatever, all this fiat money that's just being devalued to nothing, you're holding your savings in actual sound money that the value of that's actually going up. And you're doing your part to help drain the system of its physical metal and get it out of the banker's hands. So anyway, a long answer. And like I said, I said, we should talk about this, Andy, and I'm doing all the talking. But there, we are at this point where there is value now. It's opposite of the way it always has been. There's value in a higher gold price within the financial system. And that's something that, you know, we've not really experienced before. And that may be what lies in store, you know, just especially even just in the next year.
Yeah, as you say, the ability to really, this is about wealth preservation.
Yeah.
And really, because, I mean, what? I mean, look, you know, touch anything, touch the table you're next to. Well, hey, it's going to cost more dollars, more euros, more pounds to actually make that table next year, let alone gold, which has, or silver, which has all the energy that was ever created into making that bar, now has no counterparty risk. It owes nobody. It owes nothing to anyone. So that is your only benchmark. And given that everything else, because of the money printing, everything else is going to cost you more down the road, whatever it is, whether it's a pack of bananas or whatever it might be, it's going to cost you more. So really about you taking this completely paid for gold or silver bar, all the energy in it will never, ever go down. It will. What it's doing is maintaining the same price it's done for 5,000 years. It's just that all the money printing means that it seems to cost more, but it is the same price that it's always been. It'll buy the same amount. It is the bedrock. And that's why there's been such a central bank previous, a Fed pushback, because while gold in every single other currency, without exception, has made new highs in 2023, the Fed, the only outlier, has been trying to keep its hegemon in place by supporting the dollar against gold. And yet it's broken that correlation completely.
Yeah, Andy, the last time we saw that was 2019, where gold was making new all-time highs in every other major currency. And we were like, it'll be the dollar's turn soon enough. And it was. You know, it's like if anybody can pull up a chart of the dollar index and go all the way back 40 frigging years, and you can see it just does this, right? It goes down to 80, it goes up to 120, and it just goes sideways. While at the same time, you go back 20 years, gold's gone from 200 some odd dollars to $2,000. Okay, because all of those currencies that make up the dollar index are slowly being devalued. And so that's why it'll eventually be why it worked in 2019. It's why it's going to work now. Gold's going to make new highs in dollar terms as well. And Andy, I want to ask you a question. What the heck are we going to do with silver? You know, I mean, it continues to confound me. I know people watching us are like, what is going on here? Is it as simple as a point I've been making in some of the interviews I've done, where it's like, look, I'm pretty sure that gold's going to 2,300, maybe even 2,500 next year. And if that's the case, I'm equally sure that the gold-silver ratio isn't going to 100, meaning, you know, that silver's going to stay at 23 or 25. Where do you think that, I mean, you've got your fingers on the wholesale picture, you know, and a lot of times, like in places like India, when the gold price goes up, they switch and they start buying silver instead. Now it's my turn to ask you, what do you think of silver? I mean, are you bullish for that or on top of gold next year?
It's going to outperform gold. It has to. It is the most undervalued commodity on the planet Earth. And we just did a little interview with with our dear friend Bill from Gatter.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, he expresses such frustration about how come it has been suppressed for so long. And you know what? I think as far as silver's concerned, yes. You know what I think has been part of the problem? I actually think that because it's been contained long enough, the commercials, I actually think, and this is why I think we saw a short squeeze, and we're recording this on the 29th, so we saw a short squeeze in silver suddenly commence on Friday, and then it went into first notice, and it went above the options sweet spot. And why? Because there were margin calls. And why was that? Was because suddenly it was the specs who were holding the shorts.
Yeah.
The specs have been writing option calls against silver because they've been sucked in. And it's this game where don't ever wipe them out. Just let them win a little bit.
Right.
Keep them in the game. And this will keep them in this wash and rinse cycle. And it's the speculators that's been the problem. And so sure enough, right on Friday, suddenly they bet against 22. They bet against 23. And in the option structure, as you know, they bet against 24 and 25. When it started to look like it was going to close on Monday above 24, there were margin calls.
Yeah.
And who was on the long side of that? Commercials are on the long side of it. This is a farce. The whole thing's a farce.
Well, and you mentioned, again, that's manipulation to the upside by the banks.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, everybody says, oh, you only think it's manipulation to the downside. No, you don't understand how this market works if that's what you think. The banks will always try to work it in the direction that benefits them. And that gets to the end about, you know, what we said earlier about all of a sudden there is some real benefit to having a higher gold price in helping them manage the physical delivery and the physical flow. Because again, in this current structure, that's the banks are, they're monopolistically in control of how the pricing scheme works. So again, all of this, I think, does augur though toward a very solid 2024. We certainly look to wrap up 2023, at least in line with the annualized gains we've had going back since the turn of the century now, 23 years. Gold's on average in dollar terms annualized about 10%, which again, great. Even in this system, that's just fine. But next year should be a real humdinger. And it'll be fun to see, Andy, now here in December, how it goes too. The economic data should be weak. The jobs report, we'll see exactly what that shows when, I know this is going to be out on that day. It should be weak. The seasonal adjustments, the birth death adjustments for November are typically very weak. So we'll see, but that should be kind of set the tone for the month. I've seen some reports here at the end of November about how CPI, even the Fed's CPI Now forecast is projecting a negative CPI. When the report comes out in the second week of December, all of those things could speed things along. We get through the tax loss selling season of the miners, which even with a late year rally, there's still losses to be harvested to put up against your Magnificent Seven positions. That usually concludes by about the middle of the month too. We could end this month in an extraordinarily bullish situation, technically and fundamentally. And so the time for people to kind of prepare for that is now, as they're listening to you and I, because we look like we're on the edge of something pretty significant in 24.
Yeah. And I think, again, physical.
Right.
And I know that's what you're really telling people to make sure it is physical, because then you're part of the solution, not part of the problem.
Yep.
And I think, so really to really sort of answer your question fully from a first tier liquidity provider feedback from the wholesale markets, as you've mentioned India, it's insatiable. The actual demand in India is insatiable and it's barely reported. And you, of course, You know, no one mentioned about it in October. No one mentioned about it in November yet. It is going to be massive. And again, the liquidity providers are, of course, the first-tier banks. They know it. And why? That's why they're on the long side of this. And they're suckering those specs to take the short side, because these idiots are writing options calls, unlimited losses. You get carried out feet first out of that casino, you get that wrong. And they're the first to go, options rider, because you, and really, you know what? This is the concern that I'm, you get a Goldman price revaluation, which is coming. Every central bank is buying gold, not because they want a lower gold price. And as you say, to square up public debt, simple click of a mouse, what you do, whether it's weaponized or whether it's coordinated, it doesn't matter. The point is, it's going to create a bid-only market. That's going to impact silver too.
Absolutely.
And so the commercials know that. And it's really down to those last straggling speculators in the COMEX, the only non-compliant, Basel III compliant market in the world, the only exchange that's non-compliant. These guys are going to get a religious experience, and it is going to happen. And I think that we've already seen the start of it. They wrote calls against 22, 23, 24, 25. Get a close above 25, Craig, and I'll ask you your opinion on this too. Get a pit close above 25, spot, I mean, which is about, obviously the March contract, that's like 25, 40 right now-ish. Okay, or 42 even today. But the point is, we get a pit close above that. I see more margin calls coming. And essentially, we are then approaching very large short stops that really could even take silver. And people say, no, are you crazy? No. Could gap close to 35, which is the 2000. Since 2012, we've seen that decline. Mm-hmm. Gaps get closed to the upside too. We could see 35 bucks. It's not pie in the sky. That is simply doing what the November contract did, or the December contract did in November, which is started off at 25, went down to the bottom. What do? They square it up at 25. Gap close. This could be the next gap close. And I think, I know that the commercials are on the long side of this. Every liquidity provider is telling us that the commercials are on the long side of this. So it to me, silver is the rocket ship.
Well, a couple of things there. For people listening to us that either remember or don't remember, when silver went to $48 in April of 2011, it began that run from 18 about 8 months earlier. What's going on there? Well, you had this mad rush of speculators coming in, because the thing's building on momentum and the chart looks great and all this kind of stuff. Back then too, and what ultimately caused the demise of that rally, you had a commercial squeeze where, again, I think we all know this now, JP Morgan was short and they just kept getting short without the physical metal. And you had that last little rally in April from 38 to 48 was all a commercial short squeeze. All right. I only bring that up just to let people know there's history and precedent of how quickly this can go. So when you say 35, sure, of course. But when silver has caught fire in the past, it has generally exceeded that. And so we sit now here on this cusp of a breakout in silver too. Here's a stat for you, Andy. I picked up a couple of days ago, somebody tweeted out a chart. Last 6 years, gold has been up every single year in December. As has silver in the calendar month of December. Average of the last 6 years is 3.7%. So I don't know. Let's say we finish the month, hopefully above 2000 spot, and you get an average December. We're looking at 2080, which means the February contract will be 2100. The February futures contract, and at 2100, you've got yourself a clear breakout. Silver on the has averaged, as you might expect, about double that over the last six Decembers. So now we're talking, let's just say, what's the easiest math? 8% up off of $25, $27 at the end of December, if it just plays out that way. The key, you mentioned $25 key level. 26 is a key level because we've been up there a couple times and gone back down.
Yeah.
I think you'll get some buy stops that are run above that level, some of these hedge fund buy stops. And then above 28, because that's the top of the range since 2000, all of a sudden you're 29. Then you get a three handle, and then it starts accelerating on itself. You talk about the hedge funds that are still short. Think what people need to consider is the process when you flip from being short and constantly selling the rally to now being long and buying the dip. You got one buy to cover your short. You got a second buy to now go long.
Mm.
So that's 2x normal buying pressure and interest. And you look at one last part of this. Total open interest in COMEX silver is like 130,000 contracts. Routinely, even as recently as a couple of years ago, it was north of 200,000.
Mm.
Even if you go back to 2011, it was 160, 170, 180,000 contracts. Think of that as all brand new speculator buying interest that piles in. And the final component of that, what if the banks don't aggressively short this next time? If they recognize, wait, hold on a second. We don't want to risk losing this metal hoard we've developed over the years. We don't want to take the risk of the system collapsing. So putting that all back together, Andy, that's why I wanted to ask you about silver. Because, who knows? Maybe it'll just continue to go sideways and drive us all bananas. But the history is there that when you do get a breakout, that everybody piles in and it's a little tiny market and you get all this buying interest, even of the futures contracts, and all of a sudden the thing takes on a life of its own. That's certainly a possibility again. And people need to be pondering and considering that as the new year begins.
Yeah, and there's always a time to fold. And if you've got a big short position and the trouble is the speculators in the COMEX really have no visibility into the physical markets, the wholesale markets
right.
at all.
Right.
So they're not aware of all this huge demand, which, of course, the liquidity providers, who are the first-tier bullion banks, do know that. And so really, of course they're gonna pitch their knowledge or their information against the specs. And the specs, who are so, as you say, over the years, and we see it with writing dangerous call options, writing them against the price of silver rising. This is so big. And as you say, you not only have to buy that back, if you are not margined out, then and completely lose all your income, you've then got to try and make a trading decision to go long. And in the meantime, what are all your stackers doing, Craig? They're buying every single month of this year of 2023, just looking at 2023. And again, you know, very similar to what the Bank of International Settlements is doing in gold. Well over $400 an ounce in tonnage size, better off. And that means to me, and it's about gold at the moment, because gold is on the cusp of being revalued. And we've seen multiple central banks talking about it. Well, we have a gold revaluation account. It's a simple question of what we do to cover all our public debt is we literally, there comes a point where interest rates are so high and they're unfactored, you've created yourself such a problem, yet you've got this asset sitting there, which is probably, in our liquidity provider's figure, probably, I mean, it's a hard number to guess, probably average $800 an ounce is about the average stand-in cost for those revaluation accounts. Now, but the Fed's is $42.22. I mean, so when you think about it, when any one of those central banks does move to revalue, it has to be coordinated. These are foreign exchange crosses. This is a multi-trillion dollar foreign exchange cross. You cannot just, one of them revalues, they all have to revalue because it all interacts with the foreign exchange market. So where does that leave the Fed? The Fed cannot possibly but revalue too. This is what really we're looking at here. Yeah, they've been fighting it all these years, but there comes a point where, like it or lump it, do they want to really expose their rehypothecated position? Because if there's, it's $42 there and it's $2,500 somewhere else, you think they're not going to drain all their holdings, come back and say, give us all our holdings. We don't want them valued at $42. We want them valued at the price we are revaluing at. Well, that opens the Fed up to, hang on, no one's audited that for 50-odd years, have they, Craig? But even if it's there, how many ownership claims are there? What's your thoughts on this, on the Fed hoard?
Well, again, that just gets to the crux of that matter. When was the last time they went into Fort Knox? Isn't it like 1958 or some?
I think 1970 or something like that, yeah.
Ridiculous. But it's like anything else in this system, Andy. Just take their word for it. You know, and that, I mean, seriously, I mean, that applies to everything at this point, doesn't it? I mean, and all of your stock holdings and all the fixed income holdings, just, oh, it's there. Don't worry about it. It's a system built completely on confidence, which is why sometimes, you know, that's where the term con games comes from, right? So, I don't know. That day of reckoning will come. You mentioned whether price just gets reset higher. That, you know, that always gets the object of, well, you know, there's not enough gold in the world to do this, that, or the other thing. No, there's plenty of gold. It's just not priced right.
Yeah,
and what everybody forgets is just because the U.S., and by extension, Great Britain still has this monopolistic power through their banks, that doesn't mean adversarial nations of the U.S. and the West want to continue playing along. You know, maybe you wake up one morning and you know, China raises their hand and says, we will buy all your gold at $3,000 per ounce. We have a bid. Come on, just bring it to us. We want it because we know it. Well, that would upset the apple cart a little bit. And you know, they hold that card in their hands. So anyway, long story short, putting this all back together, you and I could talk forever about all these different bullish things. It's not, and we've been talking about these things for years. The key for people to understand is we're not just sitting there, you know, we're not making this stuff up. We're not just spewing things because we're trying to sell something. The fundamental story has not changed. And in fact, the longer it delays, the fundamental story gets even better. And as we approach 2024, we're moving faster and faster down the track toward all of these, this kind of conflagration that's coming, all of these events that are going to take place. And so if it's just from a purely profit perspective, whether it's from a perspective of, I got to have some insurance because of course, gold is your safe harbor, you know, to get, you know, your way to get you through the storm. Either way, man, just don't fart around. Take some of your cash that, you know, whatever currency it's in, and get yourself some physical metal. You know, whether it's in your hands, whether it's through a platform like Kinesis, it doesn't matter. Just get it to a spot where you know it's yours. Because a time is coming where, again, if you own an unallocated account or a futures contract or an ETF or all this other phony baloney stuff, you're going to be left holding the bag. And that's not where you want to be.
Well, and then it was interesting to hear Goldman talking about they assess the Fed just to maintain the status quo without anything else. The Fed has to, they reckon, issue a minimum of $1.784 trillion of newly issued treasuries in 2024. Which suddenly, and they're questioning, well, who is the buyers for that? Because,
right.
I mean, where are the buyers for that? Because suddenly you're now buying something that's huge tail risk there, because that suddenly means that the biggest expense you have from that point onwards is interest debt.
Right. Andy, and I, just to jump in, it's not just the new issuance. It's the refunding of the stuff that's maturing as well.
Yeah.
Is somewhere like $6 or $7 trillion worth. So there is supply of $8 trillion of treasuries that is coming to market in the next 6 to 9 months. And someone has to be the buyer. And you mentioned the interest expense now on just servicing that debt is over $1 trillion. So the Fed can play games, you know, and talk rhetorically, you know, about, oh, yeah, higher for longer and all this kind of stuff. But they have to know how this is going to end. And by extension, the primary dealer banks, which are forced to absorb that treasury supply, if nobody else does, they have to know what's coming. Those same banks are many of the banks that are also bullion banks in the gold market. And so therefore, they have to know what's coming. And so all of this, again, conspires into this setup for 2024 that is just undeniably a bullish. There's really no other solution but higher prices. And I just can't emphasize enough how important it is to act now, you know, and then keep acting as the year goes along. But no, you're dead right. Even outside of all the other stuff we've talked about, that math that you mentioned, all of this treasury issuance and the interest on in servicing the accumulated debt and the accumulated debt that continues to grow at $2 trillion a year, Andy. That's what we call the end of the great Keynesian experiment at TF Metals Report. That's what we've talked about now for 13 years. And that bit of mathematical certainty is ultimately what, you know, we always fall back upon as to why we know that this whole holding gold thing is the smart thing to do.
Yeah, and then the concatenation of gold now on the 1st of January being revalued as a first-year asset class, that now competes with U.S. Treasuries. Now, goodness me, Craig, I couldn't believe it. Even I watched Bloomberg, I have Bloomberg on a lot of the day, you know, listen to reports, one thing or another. Three or four times now I've seen what, and they haven't even faded these people out. Big, proper, real big names coming in and saying, you know what, we're really looking at alternatives to treasuries. We want real assets.
Right.
Real assets. And they even mentioned gold, which to me, Bloomberg rarely mentions gold. Well, it wasn't Bloomberg mentioning it. Bottom line, it was real, proper institutional people managing very large money. Coming in and saying, well, real assets. So now we have not only this massive debt issuance and rollovers that you're talking about, which have a high tail risk because of this debt. I mean, it's underpinned by faith alone. And now if you're a CTA and you're looking at alternative risk management tools, first tier asset gold is your next, in fact, is really a lower risk hedge than treasuries. And so we're seeing on the other side of things, what's interesting about that, Craig, is that we're seeing these are some of the speculators siloed in the casino that can't even access the physical markets. To me, these are the guys who are actually buying gold in the paper markets. Yes, in the paper markets. But they're sticky. They are unrinsable because they're using it as a tool. It's not a speculative interest instrument. To them, it is a hedging tool. Therefore, how do you rinse these guys out? Because they're actually buying it for that very reason. This is a huge change in structure that people haven't figured out.
100% correct, Andy. And again, think of it as if you now have this option as your foundational bedrock investment that used to be treasuries, but now you can hold gold too to accomplish the same thing. Well, now let's wait a second. If people are right about, you know, if some people's interest rates are going higher, then not only am I getting paid off, getting my money back at maturity in more worthless devalued dollars, the value of that bond or note or whatever that I'm holding on, my balance sheet is going down too, you know, because, that's clearly a crisis that we're having currently in the U.S. All these banks and institutions that bought treasuries at 1% that now are, you know, trading 80 cents on the dollar. And so they're having to be parked at the Fed in that little near term or whatever term funding facility that they opened back in March. So there's, you can look at all these different ways and go, okay, we'll still hold some treasuries, but maybe we ought to siphon off some of that cash and hold some gold as well for all the reasons we discussed, but even just for the reason that hey, you know what? No counterparty risk. And I know that the price is going to go up, and why not just hold this instead? Andy, geez, Louise, if we siphon off some of the trillions and trillions of dollars that go into treasuries typically, and some of that, just a small percentage of that, starts going into physical gold. Again, banks really have a problem on their hands. And that's why they have to let price go higher. And it will go higher on its own regardless. But we just sit on the cusp, I really think, of, boy, what a crazy year this next year is going to be. And it's going to result in higher metal prices. I just can't imagine that it won't.
Yeah, and especially if, you know, we're going to see revaluations simply on the basis that public debt has to be squared. There's no other, you've got nothing else. You've only got one asset left in your depreciating pounds, euros, dollars, etc. Yeah. But what's it? I think one other thing that really, really gets my attention and is really interesting is the fact that the last time we saw a break in price, what happened was, you remember, you talked about it yourself, say the rally for silver, for example, into 2011, even in gold too. What happened was we saw MFG Global go bust. A broker collapsed. Why? Because they didn't foresee that when you provide credit and margin positions to people based upon the legacy, the status quo, basically. So therefore, you work out, you've complicated, you got whiz kids working out exactly what how much margin you can provide. At this point here, when a gold price revaluation is going to set, whether it's weaponized by China, Russia, maybe there's a maybe instead of creating when we've got some huge US presence in the south side of China Seas, you've got a lot of jockeying going on, perhaps a Middle East war developing. And rather than a confrontation between the great powers, why wouldn't you weaponize a gold price revaluation if you were China? Why wouldn't you? You mentioned it yourself. That would resolve that you don't need to fight. That would resolve pretty much everything. That would be the Fed would have to back off big time. Yeah. That's we need to revalue now too. So what's interesting is whether it's weaponized in that sense or coordinated by one central bank now coordinated with the BIS to say, look, if we're going to do it, we better do it together. Otherwise, we create chaos. So what I don't believe for a single minute that US-based brokers are switched on enough to know that if you go bid only, even if it's just because of the gold price revaluation, it has to create a market halt. It will create a market halt. So if you go and bid only, what's to stop these brokers who've been allowing people to write options calls, unlimited losses? What's to stop another MFG crisis? That was the eighth largest US bankruptcy at the time.
Yeah.
What's to stop that happening again? So one thing I've been telling everyone right now is call your broker, get it in writing that you have segregated funds and that they are 100% segregated, because at this point here, any margin they provide you could very quickly get eaten up.
Yeah. I fell victim to MF Global, and I had just actually sent them a small check to buy some more options, and my money market, it was all held in the money market fund, and it just disappeared. And eventually, I can't remember what I got back, maybe half, but they just chewed it up. And again, keep talking about this stuff as precedent. Who knows what's going to happen with those European banks and those Swiss banks? And if UBS were to really begin to teeter and you start getting a bank run, and that's out there. That's certainly a possibility given. And again, you're talking to you, and again, in the US where interest rates have placed so many bank balance sheets actually underwater, and insolvent. But they've been able to park some of these things at the Fed and get cash back like it's 100 on the, like it's just like a put them to the Fed and get it, 100 cents on the dollar back. And then all these little band-aids trying to keep the thing going. Andy, we are at such a unique point in time that maybe we'll get together next year at this time and go, man, I can't believe it. kept going for another year. But boy, it sure seems like all this stuff that we've been talking about for over a decade is finally right on our doorstep.
Craig, you're right. And you know what? It's been a blast to be with you again. I think you know, people don't like watching something more than an hour long. So, you know, we've ground on enough, but I think it's huge value. It's about education.
Yeah.
This is why I love having you on board here. It is all about education. You make your own, you take responsibility for yourself. You take the information in, you make a decision. It's your decision. No one's telling you to do anything, but at least you've got the bigger picture. And whether you're a stacker or whether you're a trader, it doesn't matter. The point is, it's about information. So, Craig, with that said, how do people find you?
Again, tfmetalsreport.com is the site that's been around for 13 years. And I mentioned when we got started, I'm kind of the eyes and ears for the subscriber base every day. I write a report every morning and I record a podcast every afternoon. Just so that, yeah, you talk about these funds that are going to get blindsided, right? And maybe even some banks. My people on my site are not going to be blindsided. Yep. Because I'm watching this stuff every day and keeping you, letting you know what's going on. Further, the community is just, everybody's in the same boat. Andy, you and I are in the same boat. Everybody watching us is in the same boat. And we've all got to figure out a way, you know, to get from one side to the other. So the whole community supports itself too, with information and discussion every day. So it's, like I say, I think it's a great value at $15 a month. I couldn't be more, I don't know, I don't want to make it sound prideful or boastful, but I mean, I couldn't be more proud of what the site has become over the years. And I think it's extraordinarily valuable, far more valuable than a couple of cups of coffee every month. So yeah, please check us out. And it's going to be if you could spend money at 15 bucks a month over the course of the next few months as we go through 24, it's probably a good time to do it, because I just keep coming back to this. We end up December on the cusp of a breakout, which certainly appears like we're headed that direction, or maybe have already broken out. Things are just going to accelerate in the first part of the year. And if the Fed does, in fact, start cutting rates as soon as March, which is now being priced, and we're already on the verge of a breakout and we enter a new loosening cycle, I mean, that just accelerates the whole thing even more too. So now's the time to be finding some trusted sources, some objective sources to help lead you through this. Live from the Vault is something people should watch every week. Kinesis is a platform they should use to help accumulate physical metal. And then, you know, people like me that can help, you know, keep an ear to the ground every day to keep you posted. I think that's valuable too.
That's beautifully put, Craig. And thanks for being such a big supporter of Kinesis. As I say, every solution that really brings gold, however big or small, it doesn't matter, brings gold into people's lives, silver into people's lives. And also the ability to get that information from you. Craig, thank you so much for coming and joining us today. I certainly, hell, not want to wait a whole year to have you back. We're going to be doing this in the new year.
I always look forward to it, my friend. Hey, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Kwanzaa, all that stuff.
And bless you.
Have a great December, Andy.
Thank you so much, Andrew McGuire and Craig Hemke. I knew this was going to be an amazing episode. And remember, to our community, buy only physical. Make sure it's backed one-to-one. Understand the difference between what Andy affectionately calls the casino paper gold and silver markets and the actual physical gold and silver markets. They're not the same. Don't be fooled. That's what we talk about almost every week right here on Life from the Vault. So there you have it. That's what we have for you today here. So on another episode of Live from the Vault, hey, please help keep spreading the word about this channel by hitting that like button, because it helps the show. Also, share this information and subscribe if you haven't already done so. Now, if you're already subscribed and you click on that bell right there down below, you'll see the little bell. We'll be notifying you as each episode goes live. And with that, we'll see you next time right here on Live from the Vault. See you then.